we are coming to an end of the year almost. 2019 has been filled with lots of ups and a few downs, of course, for many of us. And something I will talk about more in the week to come, but we are in this holiday season and we're in this Christmas season, and so good to have all of you here last week for our main Christmas service. But today we're going to go into a different direction. We're going to be, if you have your Bibles, just over to Jeremiah chapter 3. But with this Christmas season, you know, we always want to say that Jesus is the reason, right? And he definitely is. But sometimes it's a lot more than what we really think. Our country is you would almost think this message I'm preaching today is a revival service message, but it is what it is, because Christmas is the coming of Christ, the coming of hope, and the only hope that man, the only hope that man has is the getting right with God is through his son Christ. And Satan wants to bring everything else in, and today I want to look at it as a nation and also as us as individuals. And this is why I believe God would give us the Old Testament. One of the reasons is so that we can learn, we can go back and learn from those who made prior mistakes, and also see how God blesses and see how God disciplines and those things. So this is definitely going to be preaching out of Jeremiah chapter 3. You know, some of you that have been Christians for a while will know this word that I'm going to share this morning. Some of you have probably heard it, but don't even know what it is. It's a word called backsliding. Some people say it's an old Baptist word, but it's not a Baptist word. It's a Bible word. And I love Christmas because I get to see my family, spend time with each other. We can't miss the true purpose of Christmas. The future and the hope of redeeming those that are lost to come to Christ and to be with the Lord forever. But Judah and Israel have a split, and they're still God's people. But Israel is one group, Judah is another, and they're a mess. Manasseh was a king, and I just say it this way, Judah had some better kings than Israel did. Okay, Judah had some better kings than Israel did, but Israel really messed up. We're going to pick it up in verse 6. I'm going to read a few verses and we're going to go through some of these. But the Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king. Now I'm reading out New King James Version. There's a reason I'm doing it, because it uses this big word called backsliding. Okay, now, backsliding is this. For some of you that have ever had addiction or whatever, it's a relapse, going back and living that old lifestyle. And once you become a believer in Christ, we are called to leave that lifestyle and go into the new and become a Christian. And once we become a Christian, we start following in and we get saved, we get baptized, we follow into the Lord, we become discipled. And the old has fell away and the new has come, and God created us a new creation. But backsliding is when you fall back into it and you slide back into that old lifestyle of living. And the Lord said to me in the days of Josiah the king. Now Josiah is the king of Judah at this time. Now Manasseh was the king before Josiah. Now Manasseh was a wicked guy. He was not a good king at all. He set up all kinds of worship poles and all kinds of, had all kinds of mediums and all kinds of things in there. All this sinful stuff. He just allowed it and he raised it all up, and that's what he did. If you can go back into Kings, you'll see that Josiah tried to go and fix everything. He tried to fix it all. He tried to fix everybody's junk. I'm going to read something out of 2 Kings and real quick, because I want you to know that this guy became king when he was very, very young. And in verse 25, in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25, it says, "Now before him there was no king like him, no king like Josiah, who turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him." Josiah was a special guy. He was wanting to fix things in a spiritual way. He ousted all the witches. He ousted all the mediums. He ousted all of them, tore down all these worship poles that everybody was, all the idols, he tore them down. But the Lord comes to Jeremiah, the prophet, and he says, "I want you," and this was in the times of as Josiah was the king, he says, "You have seen what backsliding Israel has done." Now we're talking about Israel. "She has done up on every high mountain and under every green tree, there played the harlot. And I said, after she'd done all these things, return to me. But she did not return, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Then I saw that for all of her causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery," and it goes on a little bit more. But here's what's going on here. God is saying, Israel really messed up. And you watched. And you didn't do a thing. You're following suit. You're following that crowd. And Israel backslid in front of me. And it says in verse 10, "And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord." God is saying, Israel, you saw all this stuff. Or he says, Judah, you saw all this stuff. All this stuff that Israel did before me that was wrong and sinful, and you didn't make a change, you just watched it. And he says here, he says, "You did not change, you did not come to me with your whole heart, but in pretense." Okay? Pretense is a word, pretense is kind of like this. You just put an act on. You're putting a show on. It's like some people can put the waterfalls on real good. Real quick, just like that. It looks like they're doing right, but their heart isn't even close. Right. Folks, I want to tell you, we got people in churches like that all the time. Look like they're doing great, but they're not. Being a part of the church, but they're not. Their heart is not in it. Their heart is not there because they're doing other things. And you would think because Josiah did all the good stuff, all this good stuff. It says, "Then the Lord said to me, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than the treacherous Judah." Listen, he's saying, Israel has sinned, but you're worse. I want you to get it out of your head. Yeah, sin is sin, but you can sin worse than others. There's this mindset that, oh yeah, God sees all sin and all sin is equal. No, it's not. Sin is sin, but it is not all equal. Are the consequences always equal? No. But there is sin that we, and he says, one sin is he says, Judah has, or he says, Israel has shown herself more righteous than her treacherous sister, Judah. So the whole family of God on earth is a mess. You got this King Josiah over here trying to fix everything. He's doing the right things, but people aren't listening. You know, the churches can try to do the right thing, but it doesn't mean that people are going to follow and listen. This is why God examines the hearts of his people. You can set everything up and make the church look really good and do all kinds of things, but if the people's heart is not with God, if the people's heart are in sinful living, then it's just that. Listen, here's what's going to happen. God is going to discipline Judah. Even though the king is going around doing everything, and the Bible says there's never been a man, this guy is a great king, and there's never going to be one as awesome as he is afterward, loving the Lord, doing the right thing, but Judah's still going to pay the price. Judah's still going to pay the price, and this is where we're getting into some misconceptions when you hear preaching, God loves you. Yes, God loves you, but listen, there is consequences to the sins that we commit. God is forgiving, yes, but there's still consequences. Running around thinking God just pours everything on love, everything on peace, everything on forgiveness. Listen, there's work to be done. We're going to get to that. There's work to be done. He says, return. This is what he says. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, you know, that Israel, you need to go out. You need to tell them. You need to go up there. You need to tell them. Return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. Return. God is always wanting us to come back to Him. Always. God never strays. We do. He says, I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. That's a good part. God is merciful. He is merciful on us. And God does get angry at us as individuals sometimes. He gets angry, and He has a right to. Amen? He has a right to. He has a right to get angry at His churches, at His bride from time to time when we are deserving of it. He says, I will not remain angry forever. But here's what he says, verse 13. If you write in your Bibles, this is one to write. This is one to underline. Because we need to get it in this thick skull of ours and in this hard heart of ours at times. Only acknowledge your iniquity. That's what he says. But you have to acknowledge your iniquity, which means not just your sins, but your sinful lifestyle. That's what iniquity is. Your sinful lifestyle. Sinful living. That's your iniquities. Those are yours. What you do, you own it. If you do it, you own it. It's yours. It's yours. You've done it. You're guilty of it. You're guilty of that. He says, but you need to own it. You need to own it. He needs to only acknowledge your iniquity that you have transgressed against the Lord your God. And have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree. And you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. They were raising up idols. They were doing those kind of things. We may not raise up idols like they did. But our hearts are far from God. Even today, many of our hearts are far from God by raising up other things and putting them in place of God. And he says, we need to own that. So there's a spot at a crossroads where we, in our sin, stand. Am I going to own it and deal with it, or am I going to keep going on and doing it? Or am I going to be like some that says, you know what, I'm going to deal with it in my way. I'm going to put it in a closet. I'm going to lock it up. I'm going to put a key on it, lock it, and put it in my pocket, and I won't talk to God about it. Well, maybe I will. I'll just say, Lord, forgive me my sins, and I'll lock it and not really deal with it. And then I'll go on. And I want to tell you something. This is where some of us are, why we're struggling 10 and 15 years later on in life, because we've not dealt with the sin from the past that we committed. And it affects our marriages. It affects our relationships with our family. It affects us how we serve God and how we love others. Because we struggle with it, because we don't want to deal with it. But the Bible tells us that we need to acknowledge it. Everybody don't need to know what it is, but God wants to hear from you. Not this, I am a sinner, but I abuse myself. I cut myself. I'm addicted to things that I shouldn't be addicted to. I look at porn. I fight with my spouse all the time. I treat my kids in an unworthy way that is not honoring God. I spend all my money on myself. I'm a selfish individual. I don't like people. I don't know how to love people. I'm angry at the world. I'm angry at you, God. I'm angry because you took someone out of my life 10 years ago and I've not dealt with that. I'm angry because I lost a child. I'm angry because I didn't get that job, or I got let go, or I lost this funds and it didn't work out for me, or my child is why I raised my kids up and they're not following God at all, and I don't understand it. Your word tells me if I raise them up, they won't part from the way. What's going on here? And we hold that against God, and we hold that against others, and those things keep us from being the person that God wants us to be. And we need to work through that. And he says, acknowledge your iniquity. Acknowledge the sin, the transgressions that you have in your life that you have against God, and deal with them with him. You get with him and you work that out with him. You need to confess it. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, there it is, that word, confess our sins. In 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and all of our iniquities. The Old Testament mirrors the New Testament. And we do that through Christ. We ask through Jesus Christ. We don't have to do animal sacrifices. We don't have to do those things today. There was one sacrifice, the coming of Christ through what we celebrate as Christmas and the death, burial, and resurrection and Easter of Jesus Christ, giving us that moment, that time in life, now that we have a gift that we can receive as salvation. The gift of salvation. And when we get that, then God expects us to grow, not be backsliding. So this conversation is for those who are backsliding. And listen, you can hold positions in the church and still be a backslider. It's not a word we preach on. It's not a word that you're going to hear in the New Age church. It's not a thing you're going to hear, because it's not lifting you up. It's actually in your face telling you need to get right with God. Listen, every man's going to stand before God. Every woman's going to stand before God and give an account of your life. I'm telling you, you can't go in the past and fix it, but you have opportunity today to fix it. And to get right with God is the key piece. Getting right with God. Getting right with God. You have time right now to fix it. How do you know that? Because I'm praying that God's preaching through me to you, saying, listen, if you're backsliding, this is the way you get it fixed. Because here's where we go. He says in verse 14, return, O backsliding children. He uses this backsliding a lot. Backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. You know what? Jesus is the groom. And the church is the bride. I'm not talking about New Life Church. I'm talking about the church is the bride. When the bride don't act right, God's going to say something. Jesus is going to say something. He says, for I am married to you. I will take you from one. Now here he goes. I will take you one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. There are some people in this group that are trying to get it right. There's always a remnant. Amen. There's always a remnant. When you see church blow-ups and stuff, listen, I always say, there's a remnant somewhere. God's always got a few. And God's got a few here. And he says, here's what I'm going to do. And I will give you shepherds. I'm going to give you shepherds. I'm going to the preachers. I'm going to give you shepherds, preachers, according to my heart. He says, God says, my way, not their way, not your way, but my way, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So you grow up and become a good disciple for the Lord. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. That's what the Lord wants. God didn't just save you so you can go to heaven. If he did that, we'd just go on up in heaven right now. But it leaves you here for a purpose, to help others come to Christ, to use your God-given spiritual gifts that he's given to you, that you can have an opportunity, that he can watch you grow and your walk with him, and how you're going to use the gifts that he's given to you to help the other children and do those things that God has for all of us people. And he's got specific things for all of us. Listen, if you have jealousy and envy in your heart, you can't be who God wants you to be. You just can't. If you're jealous of what other people have, envious of what other people have, and jealous of what other people are trying to do, it's just not going to go anywhere. You're just not going to go anywhere. And we have a life. We don't know how long we have, but we have a life to live for God. And I'm telling you, when it's over, so many people are going to wish they had another opportunity to live life. But you only get one time. You only get one go around. He says in the middle of 19, he says, "You shall call me Father, my Father, and not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel," says the Lord. God says, you left me, but I'm going to stick here just a little bit longer. I'm going to stick here. And can I tell you that leaders may set the scene. Leaders can set the scene and the surroundings for good and evil, but people make a choice. People make choices every day. Every day people make choices. People make choices every day. But in verse 22, he says this, Return you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Because why does he say that? Because he knows this. There's no program the government's going to do. It's going to fix your backsliding. There's no program. I don't care if the government wants to give you more money, wants to give you a house, wants you get. It's not going to fix your life. It's not going to fix your life. It's not going to fix your life. They had all kinds of things. You can go into the book of Hosea. You can go into all kinds of them. You can see where people had all kinds of stuff. And the more they got, the more they were messed up. So don't say it's the more you get, the more I'll be happy. No, they had this stuff, but they messed it up. But he's saying, return to me. Return. He calls them children, but he calls them backsliding children. What he's saying is, I got a big family, and I got some that are wayward. I got some that are out there running the roads, getting out there in places they shouldn't be, with people they shouldn't be, doing things they shouldn't be doing. But you know, God says this, I still love them. I still love them. And they're my children, but I'm going to call them backsliding children because that's what they are. But he says this, I love him so much. He says, I will heal you. You come back to me and I will heal your backs. I will heal you. Why are we looking everywhere else for healing somewhere else? Why are we looking for healing somewhere else? Listen, I can't help. Listen, God did not let someone hurt you in the past. It was not God's fault. It's not God's fault that we have bad things happen to us. It's not God's fault that rough things have happened or someone had done something to you in the past, even though those things are horrible. It's not God's fault. It's that person's fault. Quit blaming God for the junk in our lives. God just wants to help us. He's telling us how we can get that help. He says, I know you're wounded because I know that the sinful life that you're living as a backsliding, you need healed. Because people that are living, that are Christians, are living away from Christ, backsliding, doing all the things they shouldn't be doing. Listen, God knows they're broken. I don't hear from happy people that are backsliding. I don't hear happy stories. It gets kind of confusing today, though, because we got preachers out there that will tell you can do all these things. And it's okay. And God says it's okay. Listen, you need to verify this stuff from God's Word. Homosexuality is a sin. And it's iniquity. Because it's a lifestyle. Just telling you the way it is. And I can go right down the list. When you put something in your body that's not supposed to be there, that's a sin. And that's iniquity. When you do stuff with your body and you do it with other people and you do things sexually, the Bible says that God has a plan for sexuality and a pure way of doing that. It's between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. They consummate their marriage and God honors that. But also God knows how to forgive. He says, if you come to him and you need a healing, you come to him, he will heal. And he says this, truly, in verse 23, truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. He says, and from the multitudes of mountains. He says, it's in vain when you go up and try to find salvation somewhere else. It's insane to go and try to find help and salvation in something else besides God. But he says this, truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. He says, salvation comes only through God. And when Jesus came, it says, no one comes to the Father except through His Son, Jesus Christ. So God even saw the darkness of the world, and He had His people, His chosen people. They couldn't get it together. And then yet He still loved the world, that He gave His only Son, that who shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then it says He did not come in the world to condemn the world. No one is trying to give you more help than God Himself. How many lines has He thrown out to you? Said, take it. Take it. Take it. And you pulled your hand back. Or you grabbed it for a moment and you didn't like what it felt like and you let it go. Because there's another line that's always being thrown out too. It's the line from Satan himself. Throwing it out all the time. Listen, go my way. You know you'll feel better. You don't have to deal with all that. You don't have to get it right. It's your secret. No one needs to know. You can hate people because this is what they did to you. Remember what they did to you. Remember what this person... And then hate, hate, hate. And all this ugliness and all this sinful thing. Listen, Satan always wants to keep you where you're at. God's always trying to draw you closer to Himself. And when He draws Him closer to yourself, your sins will come out. Can't help it. Your sins and iniquities will come out. But that's what He wants. And if you look deep down in yourself, that's what you want. If you want a healing, you want healed. How do you get healed? How do you get a true healing from God? How do you get it? First, I believe that a person needs to come to Jesus Christ to acknowledge that he's a sinner, that he is a sinner. That he's separated from God. He's living a life, or she's living a life, and making decisions and choices upon their own moral meter. But we need to come to Christ. And if we've come to Christ, then we've come to that place where we know that we need to understand that God is working on us and making us into a new creation. I'm going to read something out of 1 John. It says, and these things we write to you in verse 4, that your joy may be full. God wants us to be joyful. Never think God wants you to be unhappy. We're unhappy because of the sin that we have in our life. We're unhappy because of those things. But verse 5 says, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness. There is no darkness in God. Amen. There is no hurts in God. There's no pains or sufferings in God. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What it's saying is if we say that we have a relationship with Christ and we're doing these other things, we may not have that relationship with God the way we think we do. And you need to do a personal check in your own self. You need to check, but not just with yourself. You need to check that out with God. And we lie, and we do not practice the truth. Listen, we lie more than we think we do. Amen? But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I can tell you and profess today to you that I am a born believer. I'm a born again person, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansed by His blood, saved by His blood and His sacrifice, loved by God. I'm in the family of God. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do I know that? Because of God's Word tells me so. And I know that from an acknowledgement that I have in the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me and that is in all of you as a believer in Jesus Christ. And I know this, there. I know what it's like to have good fellowship with God, and I know what it's like to have good fellowship with His children and the other and others inside of that, but also know what it's like to feel the conviction of sin. Amen? And when I have that conviction of sin, there's one thing that I got to do. I've got to get before Him, and I got to confess it. We got to talk about it. I got to acknowledge what it is. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Listen, Bible says every one of us is a sinner. There's no one good, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of you are a sinner. That includes me too. But praise God, if you have Jesus, you're a saved sinner. But don't think you don't sin. And don't think your sin don't smell. Let me tell you something. There's a great message about the aroma of sacrifice in the Old Testament. That God was, take in the aroma of the sacrifice. And it would be a sweet smelling aroma. What it was God's heart. It's the people were putting them sacrifices for all they've done and getting right with God, and it smells good to God. But if we're not doing it, we don't smell so good. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But he says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. I know this. I still sin. But I also know, as I continue to grow in my walk in this world as a Christian, that the conviction is more louder than it was when I first became a Christian. That God expects me to grow up and be an adult Christian, not a teenager. Not a teenage Christian, not a baby Christian, not a teenage Christian, but a full-grown adult Christian. Which means I need to read my word on a regular basis. I need to attend worship knowing I'm going there to worship, but it's not just for me, but also that I might be able to encourage one another and to help others who need help. That I might be able to not just be one that speaks to others, but also be a good listener. Because if God was done with me, then I wouldn't be here no more. So there's some purpose why you are still here and I'm still here. Josiah tried to fix it all. And he was a king, and he did. He did what he could do in his power, and he did a lot. The Bible says there wasn't a king like him afterwards. I mean, he was hot. He was great. He was going against the powers that were around him. He was a young man doing this. He had a heart for God. But you know the very next king, after he died, the very next king went right back to the sinful lifestyle. And it wasn't long, then all of a sudden Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in and God just says, I'm done. I'm going to take you all into captivity. I'm going to show you what it's like really to be broken. And the walls were collapsed. Took them all in there and took them all into Babylon. They became slaves. Listen. Some of us are slaves to things that we shouldn't be a slave to. They should have never been a slave. But it wasn't God's fault. Their own actions brought them there. I want to challenge you today, when you think of Christmas, that you think of it as bigger than just the birth of Christ. But a hope for the world. That when generations like this with Josiah and the ones before with Manasseh who messed it all up and the one after Josiah who messed it all up again. I want you to think of this. God still loved them. And God still loves you. But you got a life to live. And you need to live it as a new creation if you have Christ. You need to quit going back as that backslider, going back. The time is running out. The clock is ticking. If you don't have Christ, you need Christ now. Because listen, if you don't have Christ, you're not done. Those sins are yours. You're lost and separated if you don't have Christ. If you have Christ, listen, you need to acknowledge your sin. You need to take care of business, not to drive through. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins and help me throughout this day. Amen. That don't work. You need to acknowledge your iniquities and your sin. Fathers, begin to come to this moment of of what we want to call an altar call. Lord, I pray that your Spirit has spoken to those that are here today, that whatever you need to do, that you will do with them, and they will do with you. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.